Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
I Oh, no. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Adonai, we worship you. We worship you, Adonai. Yes. Have your way. We worship you, Adonai. Yes. Father, we thank you. We praise you, O God, that you have allowed us to come in and worship unconditionally, O God. We come in this morning to worship and bow down before you this morning. O God, we ask, Lord God, that you allow us to just enter in into the throne room this morning, O God, where we bow down before you in worship, knowing that you are Lord, that you are Savior, that you are Redeemer and soon coming King. We ask you, Father, to forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors, Lord. Lord, that you lead us out of the temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Lord, we thank you for saturating the atmosphere with your presence, for sterilizing the atmosphere and moving every satanic power, every demonic power, every sorcerer, every warlock, every witch out of the midst, O God, so that your word can go forth with clarity, with power, and with authority. In the mighty name of Jesus, Yeshua, our Lord and our Savior, this day, God, anoint my eyes and my ears and my lips so clear that I may see and hear and speak your truth, God, none of me but all of you. And Lord, as I decrease, I ask you to increase, O God. Touch the hearts and minds of your people near and far. Bless them, O God, to hear clearly what you are saying to your church. In Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we are talking about the hope conquers hopelessness. The hope that conquers hopelessness. And if you want to know what's that hope, the hope that conquers hopelessness is Jesus. You could be living a lifestyle of whatever you want to call it that does not line up with God. But the moment that you call upon the name Jesus in repentance, you receive the hope that only comes with him. It comes with him, the hope that gives you a mindset to know that you can live with expectations, that he's coming back for you. That's the hope that conquers hopelessness. And we bless the Lord for this word this morning. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's look at the verse 18 to 26, if the Lord allows to get that far. Here in the Logos Bible, give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecy. But examine all things. Hold fast to what is good abstain from every form of evil. Do now may the grace of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept completely blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, who also will do this. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord. Have this letter read aloud to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul here now is encouraging the Thessalonian church. Why? Because there's problems in the church, just like there's problems in our churches. And Paul is encouraging them that they can trust, they can depend, they can rely on what Jesus has already said before he left here, before he leave here. He said that he was coming back for his church, a church without spot and without blemish, without wrinkles. So if you are part of the church and you're living a life that is clean, clear, he's coming back for you. You are going to be in that gathering when he comes to receive his church. So that doesn't matter what we're dealing with in our everyday life. That should be our main focus, expectation. See, you may not have the money that you want, but you have the God that you need. And this is so important, because I was watching the folk on YouTube this morning, and all these preachers are so fired up for this revival stuff and this prophetic stuff, and it's good. But they're in this stuff for money. See, and when you're in it for money, you're going to miss the main ingredients of ministry. Hallelujah, glory to God. Do you know that in the book of Acts, the Bible says, Acts chapter 2, that they sold all that they had. Nobody told them to do that. But because when you have an encounter with Jesus as Lord and Savior, all the other stuff is minute to you. I got a nice car, live a nice home, nice clothes, all this stuff, good food to eat. But that's minute to me, because my expectation is for Jesus to receive me and say, well done, that good and faithful servant. That's what I'm living for. Not saying that I'm living perfect, because none of us are perfect. But I'm being perfected. We are being perfected every single day. He's making us a little better than yesterday. And if we live to see tomorrow, if he keep us in tomorrow, we'll be much better than today, because he's perfecting us every day. He's taking us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. From faith to faith. So Paul is trying to let them know, you have already been sanctified. You have the anointing on you. You are covered in his blood. The spirit is dwelling on the inside of you. The spirit that's keeping us. You know, most, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, we couldn't stand. Do you know that? We couldn't stand with all the stuff that's coming at us right now. We couldn't stand. It would be impossible. He says to them, do not quench the spirit. The Greek word spirit is pneuma, refers to the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. The New Testament uses imagery of fire to describe the spirit's presence and activity. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, Acts chapter 2, verse 3, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 6. Paul uses this image of quenching to describe the idea of resisting the spirit work in and among believers. In this context, the notion of quenching the spirit likely refers to a prohibition of prophetic activity within the Thessalonian church. A lot of times we'll hear and we'll see the move of God, and we'll find all types of reason to criticize it. Oh, she don't speak the way I speak. She's not as sharp. He's not as good as I am. I can speak better than him. I can teach better than her. All this stuff we allow the devil to put in our mind. Instead of hearing what God is trying to say to us as a body. You know, when I visit churches, I don't even want people to know that I'm there. I sit in the back because I come in to hear from God. Usually if the preachers know me, or if I'm wearing my priest collar or priest outfit, a minister outfit, they call me to the pulpit. I said, I'm fine here. You know, I'm invited to a revival this month. And once I, if I show up there, they're going to call me to the pulpit. I just want to hear what God is saying, and I'm not there to critique the preacher. I'm there to hear what God is saying for my life in this season. Because everything that the preacher is saying is not for you. You got to first understand that. That's why some people, all they're doing is look and see, oh, man, they're preaching about me. Listen to what they're saying. They're not preaching about you. They're saying what God is saying, the Spirit of God is saying to them for his church. Well, if it hits you, say, ouch. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can throw stones at a pack of dogs, but only the one that get hit don't back. Hallelujah. So if it hits you, say, ouch. Don't pull the preacher down. The thing is that God wants us to receive from him. He's speaking through these men and women of God, speaking with authority so that the church can grow up and the church can be healthy, not sick. Hallelujah, glory to God. Last night I came in here and I drank some stuff that I made up. And I had some barbecue ribs that I made in the oven. You know, some leftovers from the night before. So I says, we was also making some stir-fried chicken. So I just wanted to have the barbecue ribs. I had those. And then I made this stuff with some mother's vinegar and some other drink that I drink. It doesn't have no sugar in it. Because I can't drink this stuff with sugar anymore. And automatically that stuff was so powerful, it just started cutting me. And then I started having these cramps so bad that I felt like I had to go to the hospital. But I began to reminisce on who Jesus is in me. I mean, the cramps were so bad. It feel like I got a little belly, not a big belly, but it feel like all the fat in my abdomen was being torn out. And that's what the vinegar is supposed to do. But it seemed like it was tearing everything out of my stomach at one time. And I couldn't lay down on my right side. I mean, it was bad. It was bad all by Lord Jesus. And I said, look, it looked like I'm going to have to call the paramedics, so I got to go to the emergency room. Then I got insurance. And I said, but let me just lay my hands on my belly, on my stomach. And I begin to pray. And I began to talk to God in a manner that was, I said, God, you know, I can't preach about healing if my body is falling apart. I mean, I'm 73, I'll be 74 this year, and I don't look like it. But I said, God, this infirmity that's trying to wreck my body, I give to you. By the time I get to morning, I was able to lay on the right side. I couldn't lay out in the nighttime. And then I called a couple of my buddies in South Carolina. I said, well, look, I need you to pray in agreement with me. I mean, I know it's taking place because he's already working on me. But the moment, while I'm thinking, God is working. And I tell you, I feel good. I don't have to go to the emergency room. Don't have to see my doctor. But here Paul said to this church, this utterance that's coming from God by the Spirit, it's for the church to get you strong, to get you healthy, to get you stop complaining. But see, there's a spirit also that is working among us that's in the church. It's sitting in the pews with us. You can believe it or not. But listen to me. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's put one there quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And listen to what he says. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 14, I'm sorry. 14. I don't know why I keep saying that 4. But 14, 1 Corinthians, come on, book. Were you playing with me? Don't mess with me. Nah, bless the name of Jesus. It's jumping from 1 Corinthians to 2 Corinthians. 14:4. And listen to what he says. Paul says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. You see, when you're speaking in tongues, you are building up your own faith. But when the Holy Spirit gives you a prophetic utterance, it's for the church, to build the church up. This is where you are prophesying. A lot of times I hear the Lord say, I mean, by the Spirit, I hear the Lord say stuff to me, and I question. I don't just, the Lord say this. No, don't do that. That's the Lord inside of me. I'm talking to him in the side. So, Lord, if that's you, show me a sign. Show me that that's you. Because I don't want to speak something to the people that's not come from you. And guess what? Something will come over the radio if I'm home. It'll come over the TV, television, or somebody will say something while they're talking to confirm what God said. Because remember, at all times you're going to hear three voices. Our people don't know that. You're going to hear the voice of your flesh. You're going to hear the voice of Satan or the devil, Diablo, whoever you want to call him. And you're going to hear the voice of the living God, the one you serve. Three voices. Because Satan is trying to stop you from hearing the voice of the Lord, Jesus. And he's a deceiver. Some believers at Thessalonians may have felt uncomfortable with the spiritual gift of prophecy because of their past experience of adultery. 1 Thessalonians 1 and 9. Some religious cults, such as the cult of the Greek god Dionysus, practiced a form of pagan prophecy that involved ecstatic behavior. Examine all things, this is what Paul told him, and we should be doing that. Because some prophet come from Texas, from Mississippi, from Tennessee, from Virginia, from New York City, from Philadelphia, and they're blowing him up over the television, over the radio. They got a lot of brochures all over the city. You don't succumb to that foolishness. What you do is you examine. He said, examine all things. Don't move because men and women are talking. Where Prophet Jordan coming in town? Or Prophet Joshua over here? No. Who's he prophesying for? Whose spirit does he have? Whose spirit does she have? That's why he's just trying to spirit by the Spirit. Hallelujah. So he told him to examine. Probably refers to testing the legitimacy of the prophetic activity mentioned in verse 19 and 20 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So we have to examine stuff. That don't mean that you don't appreciate what God is doing. God wants you to be wise as a serpent and harmful as a dove. Paul mentioned he mentioned the need for discernment within the church. Don't be moved by everything you see and hear. This is where you need discernment of the Spirit. A lot of Christians don't have it. They think that because they read the Bible from Sunday to Sunday, they're in the church Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Saturday morning, Friday, whatever, they think that that's it. I'm being misled by a lot of preachers that all they're interested in is sufficing your flesh, your emotions. They're not concerned about your soul in eternity. That's why they don't preach against sin. And anything can come in the church, Lord is writing the check. As long as they have the credit card that they can put in that little machine. You know, they got a little machine over there, hook up to the cell phone. And they can slide your credit card through it. And they put it, you say, I'm giving $100, $200. And they put in $200, the receipt come back to your phone right away. Right away. Because that's all they're concerned about. I'm not saying I don't concern money, because God bless me. This morning, early this morning, A gentleman called me. He's a millionaire. He called me. He said he had some work he want me to do next week, some plumbing work. He says, oh, God bless me. I don't do this here, come here, where I need you all to give this, give this, give that, give that. I would love you all to give because I give a lot to the orphans and the widows and all that stuff in different countries. But I don't press people on that. I want you to hear the word of God. I want you to study the word of God. And I want you to use the word of God. Let the word of God take you where God wants you to go. Take up your Bible. Take notes. Because I'm preaching by the Holy Spirit. You can see that I don't have any notes. I'm just preaching. And sometimes I put up some footnotes from the Bible. So he says, Paul mentioned the need for discernment within the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21. We must abstain from all forms of evil. If we're going to be believers, if we're going to be followers of Jesus Christ, we must abstain from all forms of evil. And remember, because you've been saved, your flesh has not been saved. Your soul has been saved. Your spirit man, but not the flesh. Jesus didn't die for your flesh. He died for your soul. I want you to know that. And that's why Satan is trying to distract you and get you back to doing the same things that you was doing before in the flesh. And there's a war going on in your body, in my body. Believe me, right now, I'm sitting right here. There's a war going on in my body and in your body. The spirit against the flesh. During the council at Jerusalem, the apostles agreed that the Gentiles should abstain from sexual immorality, from eating meat sacrificed to idols, from eating the meat of strangled animals and blood. Acts chapter 15, verse 20. Paul broadens the instructions. All evil must be avoided. If you're a believer, you can't go down to the Mardi Gras where the devil is out there wreaking havoc on the people's minds and talking about you picking up beads and putting around your neck, them satanic beads and putting around your neck, and you dancing to the music, shaking your stuff, talking about you certain, and you as a Holy Ghost filled, supposed to be a Holy Ghost filled woman, Holy Ghost filled man. Then you say, well, you're going to smoke a joint because your sister or brother smoking a joint, and you're not with the church folk. So then, even the sister that go to church with you, she's not worried because, you know, she's not all sold out. She says, I'm going to have a good time because I got to live my life to live, you know, and they still want to have a good time. And Jesus said, light and darkness cannot travel together. Hallelujah. We don't have no fellowship. So how we still want to, we want to proclaim that we are saved and sanctified, but we're still living in darkness. God of peace, she talked to them. She, this is our hope. I'm talking this morning about hope that conquers hopelessness. I don't care what we're going through, what we're dealing with. If you got your mind on Jesus Christ, you can make it through to the other side. You can conquer that problem. Hallelujah. I traveled to Africa 2 times. I'm from the Caribbean, from Barbados. But I traveled to Africa 2 times. And the second time I was going there to ordain 42 candidates. And I traveled there with 75% blockage in one of my arteries, behind my heart, one of the hardest, most difficult blockage anybody can have. Even the cardiologist, my cardiologist, said he had never seen anything like that before. It wasn't on the side that they could, when they put the tool or the snake, they call it, up to my arm and come around my neck, that they could put a stent inside there. So I had a choice. I had a choice now. I'm going to stay here in the United States and wait for the next 2 or 3 months that I go see the cardiologist again for to take a picture, x-ray, and tell me how I'm doing. Or I can go and take my life to Africa, preach the gospel, anoint the people by the Holy Spirit, pray for them in the ordination, and let God do the rest and come back home. And that's what I did. And when I got back here, the doctors was amazed to see what God did in my body. And I didn't know that I had another artery that was 35% blockage. So I was traveling with 75% and 35% blockage in my body. You can't do that if you're not living for him. Because your flesh going to take over all your emotions, going to go up to the high top of the sky. Well, should I go? Well, I'm not going to go. Because if I die over there, man, you know what I told him? Our family says, you shouldn't go. I said, no, I'm going to go. If I die in Africa, if I die serving God, there's no better place, better way to die, serving God's people. And I didn't go making money. Matter of fact, we gave away thousands of dollars while we was there. Here, why the Roman emperor brought peace to the city of Thessalonians? The Thessalonians must ultimately look to God for peace. Romans chapter 15 and 31, Romans chapter 16 and 20. He told them that they were sanctified. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 13. Spirit, soul, and body. The New Testament understands people as a unity of material body. In material, spirit, and soul. See, we got to understand that this body and soul, they're not in agreement. They're never going to be in agreement. This is why you find that preachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers can preach for 30 years and still end up going back, living a homosexual lifestyle, a lesbian lifestyle. They could be stealing and dipping and dabbing in drugs and alcohol, even while they're preaching the gospel. Why? Because they give into the move or the craving of the flesh. The flesh always going to tell you, you can have a little bit more. The flesh always going to tell you that you can do this and you can do that. You have to make up in your mind that you want to see Jesus. Hey, I want to tell you this, that we all going to see him. Believe me. Either you're going to see him as a king or you're going to see him as a judge. Hallelujah. You say you're going to judge the quick and the dead. But if you see him as a king, most likely he's going to say, welcome, that good and faithful servant, into my rest, into my peace. Listen. You're faithful. You must be faithful. One of the words the Lord gave me last night was faithful. You must be faithful and you must be steadfast. You cannot move to the left or to the right. Sometimes we get into situations because of financial situations. I call them situations because when the bills come, the telephone, the water bill, the light bill, the gas bill, gas for the car bill, got to, you know. In 2 days, I put $100 and something in gas in my car, about $140, $150 in gas. So I have a big engine. But I don't worry about it because God gave that truck to me. As a matter of fact, he loaned it to me. And he supplies all the funds I need for gas. I drive him back and forth, going doing work. It eats some gas on the highway. I was going to buy a work truck. But then my family said, don't do it. Because I'm not going to do this forever. Not that. This I'll do till I die. Minister the word of God. The new believers at Thessalonica endure persecution even without the presence of Paul and his companions, demonstrating God's faithfulness. See, when you're going through, when we are going through as believers, first you got to know that God is leaving you. We don't call out to him enough. We look at this, oh my God, how am I going to pay this bill? Why is my husband acting like this? Why is my wife acting like this? Why my son, why my daughter acting like this? Don't they know that I'm a preacher? Why my son going to act like a fool? Why my daughter going to act like a fool? Last night I watched this program. African-American husband and wife. You know, these are people that have good standards. Making good money, big money. Living in good neighborhood. Not there's no bad neighborhood. Just have some people in the neighborhoods that have bad attitudes. So what happened is their daughter defy everything they start. This is church going full. And the daughter in college, she don't have to do what she's doing. And she is stealing from stores I use his heroin. And she OD'd twice. And when the police arrest her, the father wants to pay the police officer because he didn't want her to go to jail. And the police said, no, we got to process her. And she had to be fingerprinted. No, it all works. And the father was like, don't you know who I am? The police said, doesn't matter who you are. Your daughter failed the system. And she failed you and her mother. Well, she went out in the police station. She went out, I mean, OD'd right there. She had so much heroin in her body that her heart stopped right there on the floor, fell on the floor. And the same policeman that arrested her had to give her CPR. People, it doesn't matter where you are in Christ, the enemy going to test you to see if you're going to be faithful to the God that you say. Jesus is always faithful, even to the cross. The Bible says he didn't say a mumbling word. The hang him high, stretch him wide, crumbed him to his flesh. He didn't complain. And we can't be faithful just to live a holy life. He said, be holy, for I'm holy. We can't be faithful to live holy for him for the little time that we have here on the earth. Go to, let's have got one more verse. He says to greet everyone, all the believers with the holy kiss. I hear Apostle Stewart say that. He said that thing. He said that one time. I did it all the way to the bottom. I only wanted to go to 26. But he says, he told her, the body of believers at the church that he's watchman over, he and his wife, he told them to have, greet everyone with a holy kiss. And the keyboard player, when he had a keyboard, he had all that stuff, but he said remove that stuff because the people was acting crazy. And the keyboard player got up, he was watching this girl, and he had his thoughts, his flesh was going 100 miles an hour. I'll tell you that, you don't care. You can play the keyboard, you can play the drums, my God, you can sing in the choir, the praise thing. And the devil's still working on your flesh, trying to take you out, trying to make you commit adultery, trying to make you fornicate, make you steal, make you lie, all that stuff, make you hurt somebody. Listen, the organ man got up, and he gave that girl a fresh kiss. And she was liking it, too. She hold on to him tight. Put his tongue in her mouth, and she put her tongue down. So that pastor said, he said, man, he said, no, that's not what the Bible means. You know, you kiss the person on. Man, put the lips on his cheek, left and right. A holy kiss. Kiss. A kiss was a common greeting in the ancient world. A kiss exchanged upon greeting could also symbolize reconciliation. Genesis 45, verse 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 20. In the Christian context, it expresses unity. Romans chapter 16, verse 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians in the King James Version. We're talking about hope against hopelessness. You know, when I was in the world, I share my story all the time because it is what keeps me above water. It's what keeps me from going back to where I came from. You know, the Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You no longer love your life unto death. So I share, a lot of people tell me, I was assistant pastor here in Boston for a bishop. I didn't want it. When I got to the church, he said that what the Lord told him. But he thought he could draw me into that stuff that he was into. You see, but that's why I tell you about having the spirit of discernment, because he is a homosexual. And his wife died from all that stuff that he put in his wife, you know, bringing all the germs back to his wife. So he tried that stuff on me to try to rope me with that dumb stuff. And he was in South Carolina doing a convocation. And I told him, I said, don't put your hand on me, man. Because I was going to take him out. I mean, because, you know, I was very adamant about that. He wanted to put his hand on my leg. I said, don't do that. I was sitting on the couch in the hotel room with the other believers. I was sitting in the living room by myself, and he came in there. I said, no, don't do that. So he drove me, he put me into the system path because he think then he would have control over me to do that nastiness with him. But anyway, I overcome all that stuff, all of that foolish stuff, gestures and all that stuff. He says, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity or love. It's either go together, faith, hope, and love goes together. They go together. Most people that you see that full of hatred don't have no faith and they don't have no hope. They're just living for living's sake. But Paul tells you here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and 13, now he began to talk. This is a whole story about love. This is in this chapter talks about love and compassion. The prophetic word, the prophecy, is here in this text. But the only verse I want to pull up here is about love and hope and faith. We have to have this. If we're going to walk with Christ and walk for Christ, we're going to have faith. We're going to have hope. And we're going to have love. See, we can't walk with him when we don't even have love for one another. You want to go to heaven with this buddy and that buddy, and say, oh, I'm going to heaven. You know, you hear them preachers, they tell that stuff. And I tell the truth. I don't be judgmental, but I be laughing. I tell the truth. I can't help myself but laugh. That's just me. That's my weakness. I laugh because they'll tell you, oh, I don't care what nobody says. I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to heaven. Nobody going to stop me. But when you look at their lifestyle, if I'm in the crack house, if I'm in the whole house, if I'm gambling, I used to play dice. I play stud poker and all that stuff. I used to like that stuff. But God took away the desire, all that stuff from me. I almost killed a guy one time with a 2x4. You hear me? He hit me. And then when I catch him sitting down playing the dice, I hit him with a couple of times with a 2x4. Blood came out of his mouth. Back in the country, I'll tell you something. Oh, boy, that was the closest time I come to killing somebody. And I told the Lord, I'll never want to get that close to killing anyone again. If I can walk away, I will walk away. You know, because I'm not called to take life. I'm called to introduce people to life. That's what I'm called to. Here in Matthew chapter 11, and we're talking about hope that conquers hopelessness. These verses here, I'm coming out with New Living Translation. And Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy loads or heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. See, so this is a great hope. This is a great hope which conquers hopelessness. And see, you think that you're facing all of this stuff in the world. And you can't understand how folk can follow a God that they've never seen before and fall in love with him so deeply that they take on his peace. Here in the King James Version, he says, come on to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He said, come on. Bring all that stuff that making you become hopeless. And making you want to give up. You want to throw in the towel, that's per se. Say, I'm not doing this stuff anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm true. How many little boys, these little kids that are hanging themselves and committing suicide? You know why? Because they have no hope. They have no hope. And then they come to this place where their mother and father don't spend time with them because they're all engulfed with the computer, the internet. They spend more time with the internet, the baby crying in the crib, and the mama on the phone, texting somebody about something that don't make no sense at all, and the baby's crying, want milk, want the mother's arms. The little boy is in the room, the little girl is in the room, bedroom clothes, and talking to some older man on the phone that is giving her attention because mama and daddy not giving them attention. They're busy on the internet. They're busy with Twitter. They're busy with Instagram. Do you hear me? Periscope. They're on the system. The system has drawn them in so deep that they forget to give love and compassion and show the children the way, to train the children how to live. So the children have to find a way their own self. They end up committing suicide. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. See, casting all your cares upon me, for I care for you. He careth, that means that it's continuous. He careth for you, for us. He didn't say some of your situations, call their situations to him. There are problems. We have problems. We have burdens. We have cares. That is burdening us down. And he said, look, I got a hope. I'm your hope. I'm the hope that conquers hopelessness. He said, come to me with all your stuff, all your cares to me, for I care for you. Psalm 55. Don't let the devil hold you in bondage. Jesus is our deliverer. Go to him. Cast your cares on him. Psalm 55 and verse 22. Listen to what he says. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. No matter what's going on. Cast it on him. Give it to him. Cry out to him. Hallelujah. I tell you about the pain I was carrying last night in my abdomen. Heavy pain, I tell you. Heavy pain. But I couldn't say. Because I called on the healer, Jehovah Rapha. I called on him. Listen to what he says. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Whatever you're dealing with, man, is in Psalm 37, verse 5. It's all in this Bible. Go to Psalm 68. Psalm 68 and 19. It's all over here. I'm talking about the hope that conquers hopelessness. And we live in a world that's full of hopelessness. All the people just don't care. They don't care. 16 and 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of all salvation, Selah. When we go to him, we are weary and burdened down, heavy loaded, heavy laden. And he gives us rest. He allows us to experience his rest. His rest is not like the world. He is daddy. What he does is he allows us to rest on his shoulder, on his breast. We can lay our head spiritually on his breast and experience the joy that surpasses all understanding. But you know what we do? We call him Sister Mary, Brother John. We call him everybody else instead of going to Jesus. We don't have time to talk to him, enough time. Oh, let me just call Sister So-and-so. I called a sister now in North Carolina, to pray for me, pray with me, agreement with me this morning. But I'd already talked to Jesus last night. I'd already talked to him. But I remember he said, one can put 1,000 to flight, and two can put 10,000. So I said, I'm okay. Whoever tried to put something on me, bring something on me, let me just get my sister. Hallelujah. And we'll work this thing out. In that realm of calling your brother or sister to be in agreement with you, because you know that God already working. He heard you. He heard your voice. He heard your call. Call him first. Romans chapter 12 and 12. We're talking about hope. Hope that conquers hopelessness. He said, rejoicing in hope, patient and tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. See, how you get this? How you get the peace? No, you say, I don't know, Apostle. All this stuff is, see, like everything is coming at me right now, prayer. I don't understand what was going on, prayer. It don't look right, prayer. Well, they're fucking at me, prayer. They want to lay me off my job, prayer. They're talking about me, prayer. I'm telling you something, you'll begin to find some joy. You'll begin to, this is what the Bible's talking about here, you'll begin to start to find some joy coming up in your soul. It'll come up in your spirit, man. Because now you, the flesh, no longer have that emotional control over you now, because you're in the spirit realm. Not in the flesh realm. When you're going to pray, you go into the spirit realm. Hallelujah. But as long as you're in the emotion, have this emotional battle, you're in the flesh realm. And the only way we can get out of that flesh realm is to get into prayer. Get into prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, my God, this is so good, I tell you. I don't know about you all, but these blessed music. I had to run the scriptures last night and run them again this morning. I said, Lord, this is so good. You're blessing me, Lord. Verse 18, listen what he says. He says, where we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, spirit realm, see? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That was, excuse me. That's why we go in the spirit and prayer. Because see, when you go and pray, you go in, like I said, you're in the spirit realm. Hallelujah, you're in that realm of eternity. Hallelujah, glory to God. And then when you are able to reach in there and touch the hem of his garment, you say, oh my God, my body feels good. I feel so good now. Hallelujah, when I was focusing on that infirmity, man, I was confused. I was wondering what's going on. But once I begin to pray and talk to Daddy, something happened. He drew me into the spirit realm with him where I could touch the hem of his garment. Go to Hebrews chapter 3. Oh, my God, I tell you something. I didn't even mess with the computer today. Now, the computer, I get to turn the leaves fast. You got to get this thing. I'm telling you something. Because the enemy don't want you to spend time with the Lord. See, when you spend time with him and you talk with him, you become victorious. Do you hear me? You become victorious. The more you pray, the stronger your spirit man going to be. You're going to be able to stand up and say, yes, I'm flat-footed now, Lord. I'm flat-footed. What he's bringing against me cannot prosper, Lord. I know he's coming against me this way and that way. But, Lord, I'm victorious. And then you can say, Satan, get going. You can say, Satan, get going. You don't have no place here. Give him an eviction notice. Cause them to leave your marriage. Cause them to leave your home. Leave your son. Leave your daughter. Leave your job. Make him leave because you have the power. The power is coming from the hope that you have in Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed for you at Calvary. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You're washed. You're clean. You don't have any more tricks inside of you. You know Judas. You're James, you're John, you're Peter. You understand what I'm saying? Stand flat-footed. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 3. Hallelujah, this thing is messing me up right now. Oh, my God. He says, verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast to the confidence of hope and the rejoicing of the hope, firm unto the end. He says, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of the temptation of wilderness. See, you know, remember when they get all the act up in the wilderness? All that God has done for them, they harden their hearts. They rejected him in the wilderness. They want to worship idols. We cannot go astray. We can't deviate from the path that he laid for us when trials come and tribulations come. We got to still rejoice. Say, Lord, I thank you. Remember the first scripture I give you? Praise him in all things in the Thessalonians chapter 5.
Praise in all things. Praise him in all things. Everything that's going on here, like praise and praise, praise. I just want to pray when everything's going right. Well, you know, I'm doing real good. I'm doing real good. Seems like everything is going fine for me, so I feel good. I feel good. So, but when something's going bad, you can't talk to him. You got to call on everybody to get something done. You're spending the time with him. You don't not you all on this phone. There's a lot of people out there in computer land. They're not spending no time with him. And God said, I want your time. I want your presence. I need your presence. You can imagine a holy God saying to us, he need our presence. Listen. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. My God, that's enough to say hallelujah right there. I'm telling you something. What he says here, let's see what he says. He has begotten us again. See, we went astray from him. The Spirit went astray from him in the Garden of Eden through sin. But now he has, oh my God, Jesus, I thank you. Hallelujah. He has extended his thing to us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant, unmerited favor, has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Oh my God, hope that, oh God, conquers hopelessness by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. See, now you can have this hope of eternal life because Jesus is not in the grave. And because he is not in the grave, if you die in him, you can't stay in the grave. The grave cannot hold you captive. It holds the flesh, which turned back to dirt, but it can't hold the soul man, the spirit man. The grave cannot hold him. Because the soul man, the spirit man, belongs to Christ. It has been purchased with this very blood that we just talked about, that was shed at the cross. And he rose up from the dead to let us know, as he rises from the dead, we should rise also. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm telling you something. You ought to have that thing inside of you that is stirring inside of your belly right now, stirring in your heart, in your soul. It doesn't matter what's going on. People are saying stuff and doing stuff. Listen, you should know, but I got a hope. My hope is in Christ Jesus. I'm living for the return. Hallelujah, that even if I die, he's going to call me out that grave. Hey, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Oh, my God, Lord, I thank you that you love me enough to not allow me to stay in that grave, God, that you give me the instruction that I need to have to keep me. Oh, God, to allow me to become up from that grave, Jesus. I thank you for the manuscript, Lord. Hebrews chapter 6. Oh, God, thank you, Holy Spirit. He says, verse 11, and we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Don't give up. The writer says, don't give. This is our desire. That you be steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. Trust in what God says. He said, I'm coming back for a church with those spots. I'm coming back for my church. So what we have to do is that we got to constantly wash ourselves. We got to stay in the washing machine, if you want to say it that way. And then we got to go through the dryer so that every wrinkle will come out. Glory to God. I thank you for the analogy, Holy Spirit. We got to stand up. How do you stand in washing machine of faith? Repenting. Even for your thoughts. Even for our thoughts. Because we know we can boast and push our chest. I don't do all that stuff. One pastor told me one time when I shared that I used to be a crack addict and how God delivered me. He said, you want to push your chest up. Oh, he said, Pastor, I never did that stuff. I never stealing that. And yet the fellow, he was robbing the church of all the tithes and offerings and building a house in Brazil. They lost the church, the losing church that they were renting the space in. Because they weren't paying the rent. He didn't smoke crack cocaine, but he was stealing God's money. He says that you be not lazy, slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We got to follow. The patriarchs laid down. They left an example for us how to live. And they show us that they've been through a whole lot of stuff. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Israel, Moses, Isaiah, Amos, Ezra, Jeremiah. You know the folk, Ruth. All of them, Sarah, all of them, they've been through stuff. But they stayed the course. They weren't perfect, just like we are not perfect. Only Jesus is. Romans chapter 5. I had a few more scriptures I want to give you. And then I want to get up. Romans chapter 5. And 5. He said, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Do you hear what he says? If you got Christ living on the inside, he's the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what anybody is saying or don't say. You don't move me. You can't move me. I told you I stand flat-footed. Hallelujah. I got size 11, and they'll sit down pretty good. My son got size 13. He's a big guy. He's 6'3", 300 some pounds. He's a big guy. But I stand flat-footed in Christ Jesus. My hope is in him, what he's done for me. He didn't have to, but he do it. So why are you going to be ashamed of what people are saying or doing? Stand up, man, for Christ Jesus. Glorify him. And things are going bad, still give him glory. Your husband and I can write the Lord, just thank you for the husband. At least I got a husband. Lord, I know you can change him. Change me first, Lord. Because I know I'm doing some things that affect my husband. And your wife asking us, the Lord, I thank you for my wife. I thank you, Lord, that she is special. She's made in your image. So, God, I thank you. And, God, I ask that you change, because I know I'm doing something. I know I'm not perfect. So something I'm doing that's causing her to act the way she's acting. Lord, change me. But we want to go to God and call to God. So, God, change my wife, change my husband. What about you? You're not perfect. Ask him to change you first. Hallelujah. And maybe your wife will see how you're changing. Maybe your husband will see how you're changing and make some adjustment with her life. My son can stop running with marijuana and carrying guns and all that kind of stuff. Now he got a full-time job. Hallelujah. I mean, I help him some. I help him, you know, to get his foot down a solid rock. Bought him a truck, a 4x4 truck, so he can get back and forth to work. And he's taking care of his family. And he said, Daddy, I'm proud of you because I see how far you came. But I still got a long way to go. And I always tell him all the time, I'm not where I want to be. But thank God I'm not where I used to be. And he told me that, and his life began to change. I gave him a study Bible. I said, read the Bible, study the Bible. And I sent him every day. He gets no talk with it first before anybody gets it. I sent it straight to his page. And then he tagged me and said, Daddy, I've been listening to you. I've been listening to you on Blog Talk Radio. How can you send it to somebody and don't send it to your wayward son or wayward daughter? You're preaching to everybody else except your husband drinking and drugging and all that stuff. Let them see the power that God is moving through you. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. I'm hitting you all the way from King James. You know I like to go. Deuteronomy chapter 31. King James Version, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he is it. It is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. See, this is the hope, people of God. Hallelujah. We standing in faith, not in fear. Stuff is not the way we want it to be yet, but we still standing. People are falling down all around us, dying. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we still standing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are living with stuff that other people are dying with. Hallelujah. Hope, man. Hope, 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 hope. You got to have hope. Acts 2:38. We have to put this in there. Glory to God. Because you got power. You got the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. And you're falling because of somebody say this, somebody say that. Somebody do this. Somebody didn't pay you back your money. Somebody scratch your car. Foolish stuff. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. See, all this is hope. All this is hope. See, because I know that once I go to him, he blesses me. He blesses me unconditionally. I don't even have to do anything for it. All I got to do is admit him. I commit and submit to him. And he don't stop blessing me. Hallelujah. Man, I tell you, I'm a living example of what God can do to anybody. If you know how much cocaine I smoke and how many drug houses I was. I remember one time I told this apostle, you know this one. You may have heard this before. But I was in a drug house getting high. I was got paid to make good money that week. And the dope had such a pull on me. I'm telling you something, the dope has such a pull on my life. You know, Jesus, oh, Lord, I thank you. Oh, Jesus, you know, sometimes I talk about it. He just messed me up so good. I think about him, he just cuts me like a knife, man, like a sickle to see what he's done in my life. Man, I spent all of my money. Apostle, I spent every last cent. And I was so ashamed to go home. I tore my shirt up and everything. Hide my wallet. Told my wife that I got beaten up and got robbed. Hallelujah. Because the devil had control of my flesh. I would say I wasn't going to get high anymore. But as soon as I get some money, I got high. Galatians chapter 2. But now I can see it now with boldness, with strong hope, because I know that he's already taken care of me. He has got control over my body, over my mind. The Lord Jesus Christ, not the world star. I'm not moved by Ferraris. I'm not moved by Bentleys or Lamborghinis or Bentleys or Rolls Royce. I'm not moved by that stuff or big house with 10 bedrooms and 15, 6 bathrooms. I'm a swimming pool. I'm not moved by that stuff. I'm moved by the love of Christ that he has for me. A wretch like me, that he loved me in spite of how I was. And even in spite of how I am, he still loved me because I'm not perfect. Still make mistakes. He says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live is in the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Right here in this verse, you can say that Paul wasn't perfect. But he lived in the life in faith. In spite of, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. See, we are made right. The righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. Let me give you a couple more here quick. Go to 1 Timothy. Oh, my God. 1 Timothy. I just want to give you something to give. Because somebody will be in computer land, they want to give up. They want to give up. They want to throw in the towel. They say things are not working for them. And they want to throw in the towel. 1 Timothy. It just says, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Hear what he says. Paul is saying that what he is doing is because of hope that he has in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Where your hope is? In the big house? This morning the Lord told me, I was laying on the bed and still had a little pain in my abdomen. And the Lord said to me, he said, tell my people, if you are in this to make money, he says, you'll miss the greatest riches of your ministry. And then he says, the power of the Holy Spirit. You'll miss it because you're so focused on getting rich. You want to be like the Joneses and the Jefferson. We got to pay the light bill. We got to pay the water bill. We got to pay the gas bill. We got to pay the car note, the house note. We need funds. But that's not our main objective. Our main objective is to win souls for the kingdom. That's what God called us for. Don't care how hard you preach, you're here to win souls. Win souls for the kingdom. Help the poor, the widow, the fatherless, the motherless. And God bless you. That's what you're supposed to do. You make excuses why you don't want to help nobody. Oh, I got to pay the car note. I ain't got enough money. Man, look, sometimes we don't have enough. To God the truth. Father will tell you. Sometimes we don't have enough, but we still give. Why? Because, you know, the old folks that sing that song, no matter how much you give, you can't outbe God-given. And we'll give. And all of a sudden, the phone will ring. I said, honey, there's a better job coming. And we know we're going to make money. Because I don't leave home for less than $100. If I just come in to look, it's $100. So he says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, I got enough to make another part two of this. So we'll probably stop after this one, this verse here. And then, because we got to go to Hebrews chapter 12 and Psalm 46 and John and Peter and Romans and Titus and Lamentations and Hebrews again and Psalm and Peter, Isaiah. God have mercy in Timothy. So we'll stop here, this one here. But he says, Colossians chapter 1 and 27. He said, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. See, God will reveal this thing to folks. This is when you begin to walk in this anointing. The anointing, this hope, man, I'm telling you. When you begin to walk in it, God will reveal to people that you are in it. It's in you. Hallelujah. They said, well, he don't have all that stuff like the other preachers have. They got big castles and all that stuff. They're billionaires. They're millionaires. You got one of the richest pastor in the United States of America, maybe in the world. And if you see him on TV, you can see that he has the demonic power over him, not God power. Look at him. Because a lot of them sold their souls to the devil because they want to be rich. They're more concerned of getting rich, wearing Rolex watches and all this stuff and having a lot of planes and yachts, a home in Hawaii, home in Caribbean, home in Europe and all that kind of stuff. Because see, they can go away from the congregation and do their nastiness. You understand? Do their slamminess and they think nobody see. Well, nobody in the congregation don't see. But guess who see? God see. Man, let me tell you, if you win one soul today, if we win one soul, one body come on and Blog Talk Radio and they repeat with us and they take up a Bible and they start to study the Word of God and ask God to lead them and guide them, we have just become richer. The Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. But I say, he that winneth souls is rich. That's what I say. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for those that came on today and hear this Word. Lord, we'll stop right here. We'll do a part two of this and then we'll go somewhere else. As you give us utterance. We pray, Father God, for those that heard this word today. And, Father, we don't take your word lightly because we know your word is the truth. And, oh, God, we pray for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. We ask you, Father God, to reach out from your throne in glory and touch today. Touch today and heal today, Lord. Deliver today, restore today. God, draw souls to you. For you said no one can come except you draw them. So, Lord, we ask you to draw souls to you today. Draw them to you that they might say, yes, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to be my all in all. And if you don't know Jesus, the Bible says that the first thing you need to do is repent. Repent means that you must turn away from your sin. We read the scripture in the sermon in Acts 2 and 38. Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says this. Once you repent and you turn it over to Christ, that's just the beginning of your blessings. Hallelujah. Because he gives you the Holy Ghost. He gives you the infilling of the Holy Ghost to help you. All of us got it, that belief. We receive it so that we can continue doing the work of the Lord. We can't do this on our own. I can't. There's many times I don't want to come on here, but he tells me get up and get going. He controls me. He leads me and he guides me. Once you ask him to come in, he'll come on in. Now what you want to do, the Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scriptures say, whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever, that means anybody. You know, he ain't picking and choosing. Anybody that called upon him in repentance, he will not turn away. And he will not put to shame. They will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You have to make that decision to you for yourself. I'm not forcing you. I'm not begging you. I'm just letting you know that the door is open. The door to the church, the door to salvation. Hallelujah. It's open for anyone today, wherever you are. Doesn't matter what country you're in. If you're in Africa, we got this word. It goes to Africa and India. It goes to Brazil. It goes to the Caribbean. It goes all through the Caribbean to Europe. I had people call me from Germany. A pastor and his wife coming from Germany, from Holland, Denmark, said they listen to the word down there. So we are grateful. We are not pushing our chest up and saying we're doing this and doing that. We are grateful that people hear, not only me, but they hear you when you come in and you respond and you share. You put your two pennies in, like I put my two pennies in from time to time. Then you put your two pennies in to hear your voice and what you say. Move them, because everything is help in the kingdom. You may say, well, I got much to say. No, you got something. You got a lot to say. You got a lot to say. Many people don't say anything, but you got a lot to say. In a little bit, you know, the Bible says a little leaven of the whole lump. So a little bit can bring a great change to somebody that in need. You may say the word that I didn't say that make a difference in somebody's life. So if you don't know Jesus today, the Bible said God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God sent his son into the world to save the world. Okay? To defeat Satan at the cross and save the world. Because he's the only one that was pure enough, holy enough, righteous enough, that could pay the debt that we owe. There was nobody else on the earth that was pure. Nobody else on the earth that was holy enough, holy anyway, to pay the price. Nobody. Only Jesus could. And he came and paid the price on the cross, laid down his life at the cross for us so that we would have access to the Father. Hallelujah. Access to the blessings that come from the throne room. Hallelujah. So if you don't know him like that, say, Lord Jesus, I've been living my life in sin, but today I'm denouncing sin, Satan and his agents, and I'm coming to you right now just as I am with great expectation, knowing that you, God, You have the power. You need to get a Bible and study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Get a gospel understanding of our Lord and Savior that we speak about in every sermon. We talk about him. There's no sermon without him. He's from beginning to end. We talk about him. We talk about the apostles. Every sermon that we preach, because they're in him. They're in them. Call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying the word, but you need to be baptized. And tell them, be specific, because that's your soul. You can determine what you want. Say, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Say, yeah. Don't let them baptize you how they want to. And if they say, well, I'm sorry we don't baptize in Jesus' name, we baptize in the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Say, well, that's okay. I'll get back in touch with you as soon as I get my family, my friends, together that we'll come to witness this time. Don't get mad with them, because some people will get mad and want to belligerent with the pastor. Don't do that, because that very church may be the one that God bring you back to be the pastor when the pastor retire, or if they fire the pastor. Because pastors get fired too. You know, they got the government in the church. The church government sometimes fire the pastor. The pastor's acting out of order, and they'll come against him. The deacons and the elders in the church, they come together, and they call up for a meeting, church meeting, and they fire the pastor. And then if you're a good preacher, you've been studying your word and living the word, they might say, well, you know what? This fellow that got baptized 10 years ago here, I hear he's preaching so well. Why don't we give him a chance to be our interim pastor? And then you go into the interim for a little while, then you become the pastor. So remember, you go down in the water. We call it the liquid grave. And you're testifying and proclaiming before the guests there that you have given your life to Christ Jesus and that you're living for him. And you're going in that water and leaving all your habits, your sins, all the stuff that was holding you in bondage in that water. But when you come up out that grave, you're coming up just like Jesus come up out that tomb. You're coming up in righteousness, the righteousness of Christ Jesus. And then you want to find a church that is preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself involved in ministry. You hear me? Get yourself. I'm in ministry. I do a lot of ministry. And I travel, preach, and teach the gospel. And I don't tell people, well, I'm coming to preach for you. I want $1,000, $2,000, nothing like that. I don't do that. I just go preach. If they want to give me an offering, they give me an offering. They don't want to give me an offering, but I still do what I do. Because guess what happened? God is taking care of me. You know, he gave me life. You can't ask for more than that. So God bless you all, and thank you all for hearing me today. I pray that the word has blessed you all as much as it blessed me. It brought tears to my eyes. But I pray that it blessed you as much as it blessed me. And if you didn't get it all, go back and go on Blog Talk Radio, go on Facebook or Messenger, and you can listen to it there. You can download it, and you can send it to somebody. Just don't listen. Don't keep the word for yourself. If it's good to you, it'd be good to somebody else. Send it, post it to somebody else, and let them do. I have a lot of people that get the word and post it to other people. I got a couple of ladies in Mississippi that they be posting to this guy and that guy and this girl. They post it to a lot of people. So we thank God for you all. The Lord bless you all and keep you in God's cause. His face to shine upon you. Your line is open right now. Right now. Okay. Well, let's pray and close out. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. We thank you for the word. O God, thank you for your presence, Lord, because we know in your presence is the fullness of joy. And at your right hand, God, there are pleasures forevermore. We ask, Father God, that you continue to bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come, Lord, and bless us when we go. Oh, God, continue to make us the head and not the tail. Set us above and not beneath. And not, Father, make us the lenders and not the borrowers, oh, God. We just thank you, oh, God, for this day. And we thank you for the word that you have given us. Thank you for healing, God. Thank you for healing my body. And, oh, God, strengthening my body from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet, Lord. I thank you, Jesus.
for doing it right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. And Father, as we leave this land, but never your presence, we ask, O God, that you allow your anointing to overtake us, O God. Lead us and guide us into all truth, God. We ask you to continue to speak through us and speak to us, O God, as we yield to you, Lord God. Because, Lord, Father, we recognize, God, it's not about us, it's about you, Lord. We thank you, O God, for Brother Deacon Fraser, O God. We thank you for his ministry, and we thank you for his family. Thank you for Brother Minister Jones and Prophetess Cheryl. We just pray, God, that you continue to move in their midst, O God, and do for them what nobody else can do, Lord God. Let them know that it's you. It's you, God, that is doing the work, O God. And, Lord, as they recognize, the more they recognize, the more they'll do for you, Lord. The more they'll work for you, Lord. And, oh, God, we just cherish you more and more and more and more and more. Father, we thank you for having faith in us to allow us to be here, oh, God, because we know without you, we can do nothing, oh, God. But we thank you for keeping us in the midst of all the storms that we face day in and day out, Lord God. It is you, Lord. We know it's you that keeping us. And, Lord, we bless your name. We praise your name, and we glorify your name. In Jesus' holy name we pray. You all have a blessed day. Stay blessed, stay strong, and stay faithful. Okay, because that's what it's all about. It's all about being faithful, faithful to the King and to the work that he has put upon your heart to do for the kingdom. I love you guys so much, but I want to tell you that God loves you even more. That's why you're still here in the land of the living. And we shall talk to you all tomorrow. I didn't hear back from Prophetess Kersey, so I'm not sure if she's coming to bring a word tomorrow. But either way, we'll be here tomorrow. Blog Talk will be on. God bless you all. Have a blessed day and a safe day in Christ's name. Amen.